وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. But anyway, first let's start with a very famous narration that we have from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. This is not necessarily the Hayya actually, but this is a good summation of our spiritual journey. We just commemorated Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam's spiritual and physical journey, journey of all realms. The Mi'raj, ascent to heaven. And for us, the Ummah, we have that opportunity of what's akin to a Mi'raj with the Ramadan al-Kareem coming up. So inshallah, this is a very important hadith to reflect and ponder on how that is made easy for us because of Ramadan and because of the ways mentioned in this hadith. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَتَانِ جِبْرِيلُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ فَقَالَ رَغِبَ الْأَنْفُ مِنْ أَدْرَكَ أَبَوَيْهِ أَوْ أَحَدِهِمْ لَمْ يَدْخُلُ الْجِنَّةَ قَالَ قُلْ آمِينَ رَغِبَ أَنْفُ امْرٍ أَدْرَكَ رَمَضَانَ لَمْ يُغْفَرَ لَهُ قَالَ قُلْ آمِينَ وَرَغِبَ أَنْفُ امْرٍ ذكرت عنده فلم يصلي عليك قال قلت آمين. So this famous hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here saying that Jibreel alayhi sallam came to me and he said, may of such a one cling to dust. And who is that? He who finds his parents alive in old age, and he doesn't, or one of them, and he doesn't use that opportunity to serve them, in other words, and doesn't enter paradise. And in parentheses, all of this refers to the fact that because of his lack of khidmah to them in this end stage of their life, he doesn't enter paradise. And when Jibreel alayhi salam said this, Raghima, and then at the end of that, the Sahaba around them, this was in a majlis, they didn't know this is what Jibreel was saying. And this we get from the commentaries of this hadith and what the Sahaba narrated about this hadith, that the Prophet ﷺ was saying these three things. They didn't hear those three things, but they just heard the Prophet ﷺ saying Ameen in this gathering three times. So he had climbed up a pulpit and he said Ameen three times. And then Ameen meaning Allahumma stajib. This is what the grammarians would say. This is what it means. In the Arabic language, you don't have to always use a fi'l. There are some words that are considered a fi'l, although they're not a verb per se. Ameen is one of those words. We use it often. We use it all the time. But grammatically, we could understand that it's not a verb, although we understand the meaning to be that. We're asking, beseeching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to answer what prayer or dua was just said. And then, so then next, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that Jibreel alayhi sallam, after that, he said, وَرَغِمَ أَنْتَ مِنْ أَدْرَكَ رَمَضَانَ لَمْ يُغْفَرَ لَهُ. So, may his nose cling to the dust, meaning rub to the ground, the metaphor being humiliated. This is what Jibreel was saying. May he be humiliated. So the first one, the one who doesn't serve his parents while they're alive, or one of them, and because of that doesn't enter paradise. The second one he mentioned is the one who be humiliated, who reaches Ramadan al-Kareem and is not forgiven, subhanAllah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us far away from this category, any of these categories. So, and then he goes on, the final one, وَرَغِمَ أَنْفُمْ رَئِنْ تُكِرِتْ عِنْدَهُ فَلَمْ يُصَلِّي عَلَيْكَ. So here, Jibril alayhi salam is saying, and may he be humiliated who you are mentioned. So he's addressing the Prophet alayhi salam, the Kirasa, in the who. You are mentioned to him, and he doesn't, salam yusalli alayk, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he doesn't make salutations upon you. And the Prophet, so this is the three things that the Sahaba, all they heard was Ameen, with a pause in between each Ameen, three times. And then when they asked the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, we heard you say Ameen. So they said, Ala ma amanta, what were you saying Ameen to? And so this hadith was a jawab, a reply to that question from the Sahabi that were around him in that majlis. This is when Jibreel alayhi salam repeated these words. And here's more, what the ulama have deduced from what the Sahaba has said, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, that Jibreel alayhi salam actually told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ آمِينَ. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he was hearing this pronouncement from Jibreel alayhi salam, that woe be to the one who doesn't serve his parents, who reaches Ramadan, وَلِعَذُ بِاللَّهِ, and doesn't even reach forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What woe, incredible woe, we can say, because this is when the doors are flung open for everyone to be granted forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then woe be on the one who, finally, we have here, the one who, may he be humiliated, who, when you are mentioned, addressing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that person does not send blessings on you, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So what all of this is indicative of is the fact that here is surmised for us the easy route to Jannah, the easy routes to Jannah, in a succinct form, that even if a lot of these other things we have shortcomings in, there are so many things that we could be doing and should be doing, but it's all a journey to get there, as we said. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us evermore in ibadah and ma'rifah. So, but these hadiths that give a concise summation and kind of highlight for us the salient points that we should be keeping in mind on this journey, then these are wake-up calls that we should take these opportunities that are just granted to us on a silver platter, and we don't do that. You see how simple that is. It goes without saying that we should want to and desire to. And of course, it is prefaced that he who has the ability to serve his parents and doesn't enter paradise through that route, because women ask that they're busy serving their family and their husband, and there might not be an opportunity. So it's if there is full capability, and obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows better our situation, whether we can or not. But in terms of the Ramadan al-Kareem and Salawat, وَلِعَذُ بِاللَّهِ, we should not be in any way negligent of this. And the minimum, the ulama have said, if we want to be considered doing salawat, would be at least 300 salawat per day. And that, as you can see, that is very, very a minute task, very easy. And Ramadan, why is that easy? Because we have synergy. We have the whole entire billion-fold ummah doing this ibadah with us. So it gives us energy, which is called synergy. When people around do the same thing, it gives off synergy, particularly something that is for the betterment of everyone. Now, also to be mentioned here is that, so what this also is indicative of, these are the easy routes to Al-Jannah. And if we don't take this, What can happen? Even these easy offerings are given to those who maybe don't have enough time, or their life doesn't afford them to do much of ibadah or to do a lot of different things that we could be doing. So, but unfortunately, if we don't even do these simple things, then what happens? The waswas, wali'adhu billah, may kick in. And this is what is mentioned about some people may have to be dragged in chains to paradise. The ulama have said that. That some people may have to be dragged in chains into paradise. What does that mean? It means they made it difficult. And this is what we mean. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, that the deen is easy. From the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, the deen is easy, meaning there is levels for everyone and their circumstance. And the only way it is difficult, if we're feeling it is difficult, is because we have made it difficult. For instance, maybe with our thought processes. We may be saying, for instance, making up, there are people who have this unfortunate hal of thinking that they could be standing on Yom Al-Arafah, and even to have a thought that they're not being forgiven is not allowed. The ulama would be would eschew someone who even has a thought that they're not forgiven. We should have full hope in these moments, also in Ramadan Al-Kareem. So we should have full belief that we are being forgiven. So that is an example of someone who would have to be dragged in chains into paradise, meaning they're not having the hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if they had that hope, all of these ibadat would have become very easy, facile for them. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to get that understanding and implement it and have it felt by us, and how easy this deen is. So basically that was all to shake us up. Such hadith of clarification, warning, and instruction is to wake us up. Now getting on to the point about haya. So, I want to mention, in terms of salawat, so there's another hadith wherein we get the salat ala Ibrahimiyya. And where that came from was when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by the Sahaba, how should we, they said that, one of the Sahaba, they said, أَمَرْنَا اللَّهُ أَن نُصَلِّي عَلَيْكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ فَكَيْفَ نُصَلِّي عَلَيْكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us, commanded us to make salutations upon you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how should we do so? When he asked this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَسَكَتْ, he remained quiet. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a pause. Meaning, there's many reasons why, one of them being haya. Because they asked such a question, in fact, this the Sahaba, they said, when we saw the Prophet ﷺ pausing at this question, how should we make salutation upon you, we had tamannina annahu lam yas'alu. We had wished that we had not posed this question. Because they were afraid. All of a sudden, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is quiet. Maybe it was, you know, we didn't want to put him in that position because it's about him. But they had a right to ask because it was a commandment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we make salutation on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So after that pause, after getting the revelation on how to do this, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's how we get Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama barakta ala Ibrahim fil alamin innaka hamidu majid. So this is just to look at the different aspects of the haya of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now, to juxtapose that, what we're going to look at, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say mentioned to us in the Quran al-Kareem. Actually, before I do that, let me just, I want to mention from Imam, from Sheikh Uqlishi's book on the 40 hadith on salutations of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a beautiful commentary he makes. وَأَيُّ إِلْمٍ أَرْفَعَ وَأَيُّ وَسِيلَةٍ أَشْفَعَ وَأَيُّ عَمَلٍ أَنْفَعَ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ عَلَى مَنْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَجَمِيعِ مَلَائِكَتِهِ. He ponders what knowledge is more elevating, what means grants more intercession or shafa, and what work has more benefit than salutations on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he goes on to say, وَهِيَ تِجَارَةُ النَّبِيِّ لَا تَبُورُ وَهِيَ كَانَتْ حَجِيرُ الْأَوْلِيَاءِ فِي الْأَمْسَاءِ وَالْبُكُورِ. And it is, this salutation on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is a transaction that is not taxing. And it's migration of the awliya that they make in the evenings and in the mornings. So again, indicating how easy, how facile this commandment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instruction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, enjoinder upon us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make salutation on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. May we increase it ever more.
Amen.
Okay, so then I wanted to look at the ayah wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the haya of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And we know that is, the context of that is during a walima, after a marriage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, people lingered. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, this is when we get the commandments about the adab, basically, adab of visitations. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, فَإِذَا دُعِيتُمْ فَادْخُلُوا فَإِذَا سَعِمْتُمْ فَانْتَشِرُوا وَلَا مُسْتَأْنِسِينَ لِلْحَدِيثِ. So, when you're invited, إِذَا دُعِيتُمْ, you enter, and then when you have eaten, then disperse. فَانْتَشِرُوا وَلَا مُسْتَأْنِسِينَ لِلْحَدِيثٍ. Musta'nisina, this is the word uns, is where this comes from, this derivative. And uns means companionship. So you see, this is the understanding here is after, you come to this invitation and we eat, then disperse quickly. Don't seek this intimacy or people of the household reveal more and more about themselves. So if that is our intention for staying, just to hear what else they say, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Do not seek that intimacy at this time. You're invited for this gathering. You eat, enjoy, and disperse. And don't seek this uns, the companionship, the intimacy of companionship at that time. Because that is obviously, that is allowed. But when there's a gathering, that is difficult for the host to also have time at the end after such a gathering. Obviously, when do we want and seek that? Once when you have private time with people, when you're going on an individual private visit. So these are all adab or etiquettes in Islam, which is where we learn a lot of this haya, when to have. A lot of these things would be eliminated with haya. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says furthermore, إِنَّ ذَلِكُمْ كَانَ يُؤْذِ النَّبِيَّ فَيَسْتَحْيِ مِنْكُمْ. So here's the word, فَيَسْتَحْيِ مِنْكُمْ. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is ashamed before you. To tell, basically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is saying, actually, let's first look at the word يُؤْذِ. Inna dhalikum kana yu'zi nabiyya. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is hurt by such behavior. They usually translate this as annoyed. That's actually not the proper, wouldn't use that translation. Yu'zin Nabiya. He is hurt by such behavior, but فَيَسْتَهِي مِنْكُمْ. But he is ashamed to tell you so, in other words. And then, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَاللَّهُ لَا يَسْتَحِينَ الْحَقِّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not ashamed of telling the truth, not shy of the truth. So this word is very intricate. It's not just, because we've also seen how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was out of haya with the hadith that we just looked at, about when the Sahaba asked him, how should we make salutations upon you, since commanded to make salutations, when he had humility, and he, sallallahu, being the utmost of humility, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he paused before he could respond and waited for the revelation of how to respond to give that. And here also we see the haya of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But then we know that in other times, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he, for instance, wasn't shy in telling us to clean ourselves in the bathroom, and all the intricate details, the sunnah. All of the sunnah entails everything that could happen in the dunya, in terms of what we should do, what we should not do, what we should avoid, what we should practice as a sunnah, and so on. So we have this other aspect of things not to be ashamed about. فَإِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاسْمَا شِئْتْ. And he who doesn't have shame, he can do whatever he wishes. So there's a balance, basically. That's what we're talking about in terms of having shame. There should be a balance. Know which things we should have haya about and which things we should not. So anything which we want to share or do ourselves, which is adhering to the truth, then we should not have, we should not be ashamed about that thing. And for those things that are about ourselves, this is what we get from when we look at this, when we look at the seerah, what we just looked at. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it was things about his personal life, you see how much humility he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. So in our times, it's a very grave warning, because we have these opportunities to do so much dawah online, on public forums, so we should keep these things in mind. The vast majority of people, what are they using these online forums for? To basically display things that they should have haya about. وَلِيَعْذُ بِاللَّهِ May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Mm-hmm. But then on the other hand, those who are in an influential position to use these routes, then we should use that route wisely and use it to display clinging to the truth, so that we can have others join us on that clinging to the truth and clinging to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we have closer following of the sunnah and as we, inshallah, attempt to get closer and closer. So this is what I wanted to mention about haya and basically transform into the sunnah, which is what we can look at in various ways again and again. We should never ever tire us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to increase our salawat evermore, increase our love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and allow us to implement everything we learned and emulate our ulama. You know, speaking of is everyone hearing that? Anyway, I'll continue. Maybe nobody else is hearing it. So I didn't realize that the nickname for Chicago, or the moniker for Chicago, is Chi-Town. I just realized that during this last trip I made to Chicago, when I landed at the airport, actually the trip before the last one, because I just took a taxi trip before the last one that I took when I landed there. And I just went, and I didn't know there was a line, so it looked like, it was called cutting the line. I just went to get one of the taxis. So you try to get someone, not some other Muslim, or a decent fellow, and basically the guard was... You know, there's other people before you. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, in New York, we just grabbed whichever, everyone, that's how I knew. So it's a good moniker to have.